¿Y qué va a ser de mí? Fumando día a día, mi cabeza no me ayuda. Locura, tortura. Tira lo mismo mi actitud y mi postura. Si cambié, tú no lo viste. Solo quería tenerte cerca, pero desapareciste. Es como un vicio que no tiene cura. Y ahora, ¿de quién es la culpa? La culpa es tuya por tener esa sonrisa.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. We have ignition. We have liftoff. Out and about is a go. All systems are nominal. Afternoon, out and abouters. You are listening to KYRS Medical Lake Spokane on 88.1 or 92.3 FM. Perhaps you are streaming from kyrs.org. Either way, anyway, I'm glad you're here. Welcome, welcome. We have, you know, we're kind of back on the track of talking about some theatrical productions again. It seems like it's been a few weeks since we've done that. And, of course, I am your host, Maeve, and I have, in the studio with me, I have the director and two cast members from the play Mary Stuart, which is coming up in just a couple weeks, I think, right? 2 weeks? And then, and it's a kind of a cool play, and we'll get into the history, I'm sure, about Mary Stuart and Queen Elizabeth I. And what happened there. But the neat thing, the really cool thing about this play is before each performance, they're going to flip a coin and decide who plays Queen Elizabeth and who plays Queen Mary between the two actors who play those positions. So they are both studied up on the ability to do that. My friend Abby Burlingame, she is directing that. Hello, Abby.
Hi.
Yes, and then we have, hello. And then we have Sydney Anderson, who's been on the show before, and Jamie Worrell. Now, I want to say, is it Worrell? Which is the emphasis?
I am not particular about it. There is multiple personalities.
Okay. And you both play Queen Mary and Queen Elizabeth, depending upon how the coin is flipped, correct?
Correct.
All right. So, what is this story about?
Yes, great question. So,
thank you.
Mary Stuart is about Mary Stuart, better known as Mary, Queen of Scots. And so, Mary, Queen of Scots was it's hard to say contender for the throne of England because she herself never particularly wanted to be placed on the throne of England, but there was a lot of men around her who saw her as like a replacement and rival for Queen Elizabeth I. I think we're probably more familiar with Queen Elizabeth I
And this is a classic rival, right, between the Protestants and Catholics, right?
Yeah. So we're talking about a period in England's history, you know, after they've separated from the Catholic Church, created the Church of England, and then obviously the wall... You know, Elizabeth belongs to the Protestant faith. You know, there is still Catholic religion in the land, even if that's not the official religion of the land.
Yeah.
And so there's an ideological divide that Mary could represent, you know, is deeply Catholic, does represent this, like, Catholicism that would like to see a Catholic on the throne.
And these folks who want to kind of reestablish that use her to do this. And there's also a lot of intrigue around it, right? I mean...
Yeah, the joy of this show for me isn't necessarily... Well, other than the two queens who I love, isn't necessarily that you need to be, like, all studied up on the history. It's more kind of like an episode of Game of Thrones where everyone on stage is playing, like, three different games. Everyone's a double agent. The women have an incredible amount of power and then also at times have absolutely no power. And are being manipulated by the men around them
okay.
as they're trying to manipulate them. And so it's...
And we don't want to probably give too much away because, nope. I mean, people, they could, if you know, they could look it up, I suppose, or maybe watch a PBS special and know what's going on. But, mm-hmm. You know, Mary is arrested for a long time before anything happens to her. So is this sort of like, where is it in that sequence of her being arrested?
Yeah. So the playwright, Friedrich Schiller, is a German playwright. So the play was originally written in German. And he's really good at, we drop into it like a couple days before Mary's execution.
And so we're at spoiler alert.
Oh, spoiler alert, she gets beheaded. I think the spoiler alert for that
but
one.
She comes back from the dead.
Might be in the graphics for it, the show. Yes. And so he drops us in the middle of things, and it's very like tight, the sequence of time and action leading up
and,
to the decision.
And they are cousins, right? Yeah.
Yes. That's what I thought. They're cousins. They do call each other sister a lot.
Oh, that's good. Because I've got a song that I'm going to play having to do with cousins. So, yeah, when I load up all my stuff. How did you come about deciding this is the play? This is the Inland Classical Theater's first full stage production, right?
So yes.
How was this picked?
Yeah. So I had seen this show probably in my like early teens over in Seattle where I grew up. And I remember it sticking with me. And as ICT's Inland Classical Theaters, we've kind of started to develop really who we are and our identity. I think we have a passion for bringing slightly lesser known pieces to Spokane. So classical theater, we'll do some big Shakespeare's, we'll do some big stuff.
Right.
But we also want to bring establish us as someone, as a company that's going to do things that are a little out of the ordinary. So I don't think this is, I don't know the last time, if ever, it's been performed in Spokane.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And so I personally really like the two queens and this journey that they go on. So it was a piece that spoke to me. And so I chose it because I hope it will speak to other people.
Yeah, that when we're going to have a little bit of that here in a bit, but people might be familiar with a lot of the faces in this because we had Spokane Shakespeare Society for quite a few years here in Spokane, and like so many, I've been a part. I feel like I'm a jinx sometimes because I've been a part of so many theatrical troupes that have come and gone, you know, in Spokane. That this is sort of an incarnation of a lot of the folks that were in that, you'll see. But I kind of like this because it frees you up. You don't just have to do Shakespeare related stuff now. That's really cool.
Yeah. And I say, as artistic director, everyone asks me what I define as classical. I have a very broad definition of classical, even getting into potentially some like 20th century works. Or anything that's interacting with classical plays, new writing even. So I'm interested in kind of how broad that can be. But obviously, yes, our group that founded this, our bread and butter is Shakespeare and verse and heightened language. And so this is in verse, translated from German. And so it has that heightened language without being Shakespeare.
Yeah, and people will be able to follow. Although I think like, I you know, we did The Tempest here on air. And I was back in September, I think we did that. So, but it was fun. And we had set up, I think, 6 microphones and we were all just running around like crazy doing it. And I sat here because I was narrator. One of the things we learned from doing things on the radio, though, was because there's this 8-second delay. So I can't put up the monitor for people to hear. So I would play a sound effect. And nobody could hear if the sound effect actually went out. So it's like, okay, file that one away. We've got to figure out a way to do that. But now I want to talk to you guys. Jamie, now you are a new face for me in the theater scene around here. And it's good to see you. And
Thank
we
you.
Talked a little bit about how did you come to Spokane?
Well, that's a fun story.
My husband was career military. He retired after 20 years, and he decided on Spokane is where we wanted to land. And I'm like, cool, make that decision. I'll follow you. We've been here for about 3 years now. Like, we came post-COVID. And that's just it. I haven't acted in a very, very long time before this. When I was younger, like in high school, before kids and marriage, I did a lot of community theater. But after that, life gets in the way. Yeah. We moved around quite a bit. And, you know, as I told you earlier, we ended out getting stationed outside of Savannah, Georgia, outside of Washington, D.C., outside of New York City. And that was exceptional for the opportunities. Not so great if you are an utter amateur who likes to perform.
Yeah.
So I kind of had to put that on the shelf for several decades and just do things like working at haunted houses. I worked as a pirate on a tour ship in Savannah one summer, but I really wasn't able to perform as an actress just because I am amateur. I am just a person. I didn't go to school. I don't have training. I don't have an agent or headshots. And that can be really daunting.
Yeah.
As you know, like I keep making the joke that I'm representing the community in community theater. And the bar of entry can be very daunting. Yeah. If you are just some person who likes to perform, but you don't have the piece of paper. You yeah. don't have the fancy headshots. Right. So
I think I'm so glad you're here. And I think that Spokane is a place where, you know, you could go to Portland or Seattle and it's like, it takes a while. If you ever feel like you're part of the community, you might not ever feel, but I think in Spokane, you could become a part of the community really quick. And I think that the theater community is especially, has that been kind of your finding is
well, like
pretty welcoming.
So I waited till our youngest was out of high school and I had a little bit more time. And last summer I saw a post on social media about auditions and I'm like, this sounds fun. Why not? Mm-hmm. And it was actually here and like at this library that we auditioned and like I walked in and there was a gorgeous brunette behind the table who saw something in me that I didn't like. I was bluffing my butt off. I was like knees shaking with nerves, like hands shaking with nerves. And I'm like, just full send it. The worst they can do is say no. And yeah. like went home and I'm like, I don't think I did very well. And then I got a call.
That's so cool.
And that gorgeous, very intelligent, and obviously with a wonderful eye for talent, brunette just happens to be my co-star, Sydney Anderson.
Wow, what a great transition. Hello, Sydney.
Hello. That was a beautiful segue. Thank you, Jamie. I'm blushing. Might I add, that call that I made to Jamie was the first casting call I made because I said, if I don't get her, I'm screwed.
Oh, my gosh.
So I cannot say enough good things about Jamie, and I think she undersells herself a lot. It's just phenomenal working with her. And yeah. Maeve, it's great to be back here. So thank you.
Yeah, likewise. And I always enjoy working with, I haven't worked with Jamie, but I've enjoyed working with you and Abby. That's a lot of fun. You are all done with college now.
Indeed, I
and
am.
Still busy working crazy a lot.
Yeah, crazy yeah. a lot. Is
do you miss college? You miss the university at all?
I do. Yeah. I really do. I had a lot of fun there. It was just a really, really tight-knit community. It was a lot of, like, really easy access to my friends and to really, really great mentors.
Yeah.
I do miss it, but I'm glad that I'm graduated.
Oh, I bet. Yeah. If you could just go back and audit classes and hang out, that would be
genuinely
fun, right?
If I could be a full-time professional student, that's like my dream.
Yeah, that'd be the best. Well, you know, we're going to dive a little bit deeper in the play, but before we do, why don't we let people know how they can get tickets to this play?
Yeah, of course. So you can go online to inlandclassicaltheater.com and purchase your tickets there. We are in Blue Door Theater, which we're really excited about. It's in the milk bottle that's downtown, not in Garland.
Right.
And we go up next Thursday, January 29th. We open, and we'll have Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday performances, matinee on Sunday, and then we'll repeat that the next weekend. So 2 weekends of performances.
Oh, okay. So it's 8 days.
Eight days.
Oh,
yep.
Okay. I thought for some reason it was just 4 days. So that's good. 8 days mm-hmm. is good. Do you guys want to flip the coin right now? Because I want to ask about, get into specific character stuff before we dive. We're probably going to do this after the break. We'll do the reading stuff sure. after the break. But why don't we just, you guys want to flip the coin and decide who's who?
All right.
Clear on the table.
Okay.
We actually have a coin. This is not a sound effect, people. All right.
B. That is arrangement B. So I, Sydney Anderson, will be playing Elizabeth.
Okay, so you're Elizabeth, and Jamie is Mary, Queen of Scots. Okay, so let's start off then talking about Elizabeth. Who is Elizabeth when you play her?
Oh, Elizabeth is very layered. She's a very complicated woman. She is tough as nails. She has a very clear vision of how she would like things to go in her kingdom and in her life. And sometimes certain people come across that path and kind of mess up that vision. I also think that she's a very complicated human. Emphasis on the human. Because you want to see the good in her. And I think a lot of history paints her out to be this really stone cold, mean, absolute, like, iron fist ruler. And I don't think that that is how the play or how I interpret her all the time. I think she is harsh. But I do think that there are a lot of moments where she feels those really human emotions, like fear and regret and love. Elizabeth is just...
And she feels... How does she feel about her cousin Mary? I mean...
She has very complicated feelings about her cousin Mary. She wishes that her cousin Mary not necessarily would die, but kind of that she would just go away and not be a problem anymore.
Yeah.
I think, you know, most of her problems surrounding her cousin Mary come from the fact that Elizabeth has this really, really tight group of guys around her just talking in her ear a whole bunch. And oh boy, do they talk a whole bunch.
Yeah.
She's getting told a million different things. And so I think at a certain point, she doesn't really know which thoughts are her own and which thoughts are kind of being enforced for her. The long and the short of it is she does not want to kill her cousin. I do kind of believe that.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that sounds cool.
Okay.
That sounds believable. You got me hooked.
Thanks. All right. Thanks.
Jamie, how about Mary? What do you think about her?
So, like, I've done my own research outside as to the queens themselves, and Mary is someone who is, I feel, kind of set up to fail because she is called Mary, Queen of Scots, but when she was very, very young, she was sent to France to be raised as a French princess, as a French queen. That would have worked out gangbusters had her first husband not died exceptionally young. Mm. Then she is sent back to Scotland without the rigor and education that should have been given to a Scottish queen to rule that kingdom. In short, it went poorly.
Okay.
And then, which leads to her being deposed for her baby son. And she is fighting, like, she is going to be put to death, so she goes to England for help. But here's the thing. Elizabeth I is not going to go to war for a Catholic queen against a Protestant government in Scotland. Like, that is not going to happen. So it Mary has this thing where whenever she has to make a choice, she tends to follow her heart.
Okay.
She tends to not use political intrigue or the kind of machinations you would need to do to be an effective politician and ruler at that time. So she goes to Elizabeth with, like, we are kin, we are cousins, you're going to help me, you're going to help me get my throne. And Elizabeth is very like, well, what if I don't? And the problem here is, as always, is the question of religion, which is Elizabeth is a Protestant, Mary is Catholic. The Protestants are always going to want to push someone on their team ahead of Elizabeth. Obviously, the status of Elizabeth's birth is a very big problem for her, her legitimacy. So there's always going to be people saying Elizabeth I is not legitimate. Well, yes, she is, because Henry's wills fixed it, but it's like it's back and forth, back and forth. Yeah. So I feel like poor Mary just underestimated that, the threat that she poses to Elizabeth, and went in making a decision that a person would make, a human being would be like, my cousin will help me, we are kin, we're family, without understanding the political threat she posed. And what's actually very sad and interesting to me is how Mary, as a very young princess going back slightly, was manipulated by her uncles, the Cardinal of Guise. And I don't remember what the other one was, but she was manipulated by her uncles to claim England for herself. And then they backed off and they basically left this poor young girl holding the bag of claiming to be the English queen, claiming the arms and all that. So where we are is she goes to Elizabeth for help. Elizabeth just, she doesn't want to kill her cousin, but at the same time, this is a problem. So I believe in real life, it's about 20 years that Mary is kept on house arrest. In the play, I believe it's 10 years. And then a decision, like, there are constant plots involving Mary. Whether or not she's involved with these plots to take down Elizabeth, that's an entirely different discussion. But the fact remains, she has become something very dangerous, which is a symbol.
Does Mary have like a court around her as well?
So in our world of the play, she's on house arrest with her nurse, Hannah Kennedy, who is played by Micah. How you pronounce the last name?
Micah Sibbetts.
Micah Sibbetts. She's amazing. She's just nailing the part. So in our play, it seems like Mary's world is very small. Like it's very much like she's imprisoned. In the real world, no, she was kept in nice places. But in ours, she is kept very much as a captive, as a prisoner, because of all these plots of treason to take Elizabeth down, to kill Elizabeth, to get Elizabeth off the throne and put Mary on there. And eventually what happens is Elizabeth's hand is going to be forced on this because, you know, as it comes up in the play so often, her one's life is the other's death.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And for Mary, what I love about her, what I have loved about her since getting my little meaty paws on this script, is her humanity. That her humanity just comes out of her, her warmth, her humor. I mean, this is a very, you know, as Abby has said, this is an older play that was originally written in German. And here we have an English translation. And there are some very funny jokes that come out here. And most of them come from Mary. And, like, it's so great to have this woman who is so powerful and educated and has, she's a queen, she's got, should have all this power and authority, but at the same time she doesn't. And part of that, I feel, is that humanity that leaks out of her, that she cannot help but help be a person, to say the smart aleck remark, to crack the joke, whereas Elizabeth is much more of a politician.
That's really, I'm excited. We're going to break for some, hopefully everybody that's given them a little bit of a taste of what we're going to do here in a few minutes. We're going to play our 20-minute after the hour spots, and we'll be right back.
Lived most everywhere. from Zanzibar to Berkeley Square.
Put patties on the scene, the sights a girl can see from Brooklyn Heights. What a crazy pair of their cousins. Identical cousins all the way. One pair of matching bookends, different as night and day.
Where Kathy adores a minuet, the ballet russe and crepe Suzette's.
Our Patty loves to rock and roll, our hearts will break, we'll lose control. What a wild duet, still they're cousins. Identical cousins, and you'll find they laugh alike,
they walk alike,
at times they even talk alike. You can lose your mind when cousins are two of a kind.
Out and About receives support from Boots Bakery and Lounge, specializing in vegan bistro fare and gluten-free baked goods. Located in the Saranac Commons, 19 West Main Street in Spokane. Open 7 a.m. through 7 p.m. Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. through 5 p.m. Sundays. Full menu and information at bootsbakery.com.
Out and About receives support from Eastern Washington University, the region's polytechnic, offering an increased emphasis on real-world, hands-on learning to build career-ready skills and a lifelong community. More information at ewu.edu.
Hey, this is DJ Downlow from Inside the Hype Radio. Thousands of people choose KYRS as their radio station every week, and we want you to be a part of our family. Just text GIVE KYRS to the number 44321 and make KYRS your radio station.
The National Runaway Safeline is a communication system managed by the Safe Place Network as a resource for runaway and homeless youth, teens in crisis, and their families. It is confidential, anonymous, non-judgmental, and free. The hotline number is 1-800-RUNAWAY. Calls are answered 24 hours a day, 365 days a year.
All right, we're back, and I am talking to my friends from Inland Classical Theater's production of Mary Stuart, and we're going to do a little bit of that right now. If you're just tuning in, it is a play that's going to be at the Blue Door, and we're going to give you the details on all that in just a little bit. But the cool thing about this play is that the two principals, the two queens basically, will flip a coin to decide who is playing which queen. So as I was talking to Jamie before you came in, Sydney, I was saying, so there's a chance you might play Queen Elizabeth every single night. Yes. For the 8 nights you're playing it.
So we've worked in a fail-safe in case that
okay,
happens.
Okay.
So the Saturday night performances will be set. So
oh, okay, good.
We do know that the first weekend will be what we call Arrangement A, which is Sydney as Mary okay. and Jamie as Elizabeth. And then the second Saturday night performance will be swapped. So they will at least get one performance as each queen. But all the rest could be the same.
Okay, so. How we're gonna do these things, but I got another question. How is it to prepare for two roles like this? Is it pretty, I know the memorization's one thing, but just thinking about the characters themselves. I mean, how is that?
I mean, at first it was pretty daunting. I mean, base level, it takes a lot of color coding for my brain.
Yeah.
I have two very set colors for each queen. And then when I was looking at my script before we started rehearsals, I was just like flipping through, trying to read it front to back like you would normally read a script. And I got so freaked out because I was like, oh my God, how am I going to separate these women?
Yeah.
And then we spent like the whole first month, just the two queens and Abby in table reads, sorting out characters and kind of chunking things into two separate storylines. And so we split it up into the Mary storyline and the Elizabeth storyline.
Oh, very good.
And that helped so much.
Yeah. Oh, I bet.
Yeah, I really was like we can break both tracks down, Elizabeth and Mary, into like a beginning, middle, and an end.
Yeah.
So, and then Elizabeth actually has kind of a little bonus bit too, but like beginning, middle, and end. And so, yeah, I was very determined if I was going to do this project, I needed extra time with my queens,
yeah,
more than a normal 6-week rehearsal process. But they've been working their butts off.
They are
putting in the work.
Oh, I bet. Jamie, how was it for you?
It's been a marathon, not a sprint.
Yeah.
It's funny. I've had people ask, like, did you know the coin flip thing beforehand? And I'm like, yes, I knew. I thought it'd be great. The thing that has surprised me, though, out of with apologies to Sydney, because I had a great time with 5LQ, but that was sort of terrifying because it was my first time. I am enjoying this so much more than I thought I would.
Yeah.
And that is a testament to Abby's talent and direction and her patience with me, because I am a lump of raw clay. Like, we make the joke that sometimes Jamie doesn't remember what stage left is. just go over there, you poor thing. And for the record, I have to do the L's with my hand to find out which left is anyway. But I am enjoying this more than I thought I would. I'm having more fun. And that's not to say that it's not a blood, sweat, and tears process, but Abby's patience and guidance on this and her thoughtfulness and her thoroughness has, like, it's inspirational to me. It makes me want to be a better person. It makes me want to give the best performance that I can. And I cannot fathom doing this with any other director. You're amazing.
No way. I'm going to add on to that because I adore Abby, and having her as our commander in chief is probably the best way to get through this.
Absolutely.
Because I couldn't imagine doing this without her.
I'll say Abby's pretty awesome too.
Yeah,
she's amazing.
I'm going to have to say that too.
Oh no. Well, now I'm blushing over here.
Do you do when you have to decide? I mean, when you step into the role of each character, do you have an affectation? Do you have a posture? Do you have, I know you do probably different voices, but is there something you do physically to get into the role?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. They live in different temperatures. They live in different colors. And that separation is critical because, you know, we've made the joke, Sydney and I, that it is not a good idea to rehearse both our ladies in the same session because it makes them both strange. Like,
yeah, I could see
Elizabeth
that.
For me is the one, she starts to really like drift out of her lane and she's like, wow, she's calming down quite a bit.
Yeah.
I'm with Jamie on that one. If you are rehearsing both in one night and you start with Mary and then you go into Elizabeth gets really, really weepy.
Yeah, she gets
really emotional. And you're like trying to hold it together, and then you just feel like kind of a hot mess express.
Yeah. Oh, I bet. I mean, you are these, you know, if this was a single person, like you're doing this, it'd be a lot of bad stuff going on in your head, I would think. Yeah. Okay, we're gonna do a scene right now. Do you need to set it up a little bit?
I guess I'll set it up.
Okay.
So this is the one scene in the play where the queens are actually interacting with each other. So they actually have one scene together because it is a imagined meeting between the two that historically did not happen, but that the playwright, you know, puts as the centerpiece of the play. So we're not going to do the full scene because that would give too much away. But we have a little taste of who both of these characters are and what happens when the fire and the ice come into contact with each other.
Okay, sounds good.
Who led me to expect a woman humbled? Unsoftened pride is what I see.
So be it. I'll submit even to this. Helpless pride of a noble soul be gone. I will forget who I am and what I have suffered at her hand. Heaven decided for you, sister. Your head is crowned. I worship the godhead that raised you. But you be noble-minded too, my sister. Extend your hand, the royal right hand, and raise me from these depths.
I see you at your right place, Lady Mary. And praise God who would not put me at your feet like you now at mine.
But think if he had. Fear the unyielding gods that punish pride, for it's they who have thrown me down at your feet. Honor yourself and me before these nobles. Honor the blood of Henry Tudor's house, the blood that flows through my veins as through yours. Do not stand like a rock against the sea, against a castaway lost in a storm. Extend your hand, touch my heart. Let me touch yours with words, with tears on which my life depends. Your cold stare freezes my heart. Words die in my throat.
What have you to say to me, Lady Stuart? I shall forget the queen, so deeply offended, to meet the duty of a sister to you. You have the comfort of the sight of me. I risk reproach for bounty such as this, for you know it was your wish to have me murdered.
Where to begin? How to place words so that they seize your heart, yet do not offend you? Since I cannot speak for myself and not gravely accuse you, something I would not do. You have treated me unjustly, for I am a queen no less than you are a queen. I came to you a supplicant, and you, against law and sacred hospitality, locked me behind walls, seized my servants and friends. I am delivered over to sorry want, tried for my life before an unworthy court. Enough. Eternal silence cover my suffering. But see, we'll call it fate. An evil spirit from the abyss inflamed our hearts with hate that estranged us. It grew as we grew. Bad men fanned the flame. Zealots armed others. Such is the fate of kings. They, set at odds, loose furies of discord. No stranger stands between us here. We have met. Speak, sister. Tell me my offense. I'll give you full satisfaction. Had you heard me before, it never would have come to this sad encounter.
Not fate should you accuse, but your black heart, the wild ambition of your native house. Hear me. Unprovoked, your uncle, priest who reaches for every crown in Europe, launched a feud. He turned your head, led you to take up my arms, appropriate my royal title, enter battle against me at the risk of your life. What did he not call out against me? Priests' words, civil war, arms of pious delusion deep in my peaceful kingdom. Fanatics' weapons. Why, my very head was threatened. God is with me. Yours falls.
You've always seen me as a foe, a stranger. Had you declared me your heir, you would have found a friend, a kinswoman.
All right. So that was cool. I loved it. Why don't we let people know? I'm sure people are right now, they've maybe crashed their car.
Of course.
And, you know, like classical steam coming out from underneath the hood. And they're like, when is this show? When can we see the show?
Well, you don't have to wait very long. It opens January 29th, which is next Thursday, and runs through February 8th, which, fun fact, is the day, spoilers, that Mary was beheaded February 8th.
Oh, my God.
I totally planned that.
Absolutely.
But you can get tickets at inlandclassicaltheater.com. And we will be going up at the Blue Door Theater, which is home of Blue Door Improv Comedy in the Milk Bottle downtown.
And, you know, I'm looking forward to being, I have not been in that space. I've interviewed them here, but I've never been in that space. And I suspect a lot of the listeners probably are in the same boat, you know, go to the Milk Bottle. There's also an art gallery that's opening up there soon too. So it's going to be kind of a Milk Bottle specific next couple weeks here on the show. But are you able to rehearse there as well? Were you able to rehearse in that space too?
We're actually rehearsing right now at IBU Local 77, which
I've
is
been there,
the
building before,
the electrician union, local union.
Oh, cool.
They're one of our sponsors, and they very generously let us use their space for rehearsals.
They're a good group of people.
So they're fantastic. So we will be getting into Blue Door next week for Tech Week, which we're really excited about. I did have a chance. Some of our folks were involved with Spokane Playwrights Laboratory's Mad King that went up there. And so they've given us some details on, you know, doing a like a scripted performance in that space, essentially.
Oh, that's...
So yeah, it's definitely an area though that, you know, Blue Door wants to partner with other organizations. The space is really cool. And yeah, I'm just,
well, and it's easy to find.
It's like, go to the milk bottle.
See it from the freeway, the milk bottle. And you say, that's,
yeah,
I need to go there. When you are directing, Abby, when you are doing this and you have, two actors playing these two different roles, I would imagine you look at, you know, Sydney or Jamie and you say, this is how I think, you know, this is what I'm seeing from your character when you play it, maybe Jamie, but Sydney is different. Does that kind of happen?
Yeah. So generally the way rehearsals would go was, we'd come in, they would flip a coin unless there were other circumstances why someone wanted to go first. And I, you know, would start with that queen, whoever it was, and say it was Sydney, block the scene with Sydney first, kind of following Sydney's impulses, what I saw as a director, what other actors were doing, you know, all the motivation, all the nuts and bolts that you do in theater. And then we would do queen swap, which is our favorite.
Queen swap.
Our favorite slogan. We should probably make buttons at this point. Queen swap. Swap out the queens. And then Jamie would come in this scenario. And I would say, you know, my first thing as a director is I just let the actors take a run at the scene, like, before I give them anything. And so Jamie could choose to follow all of Sydney's blocking, make similar choices, or Jamie could not. And so usually what then evolved was something that, like, most of the blocking, the movement was the same, except for key moments where they were really like, I feel like my queen would do something different here.
Yeah.
So they really are two distinct interpretations of these characters.
They just have to be by everybody's what they bring to the character. How about the other players when they interact? I mean, I'm sure that's, you know, it's a different response on some level, I would imagine, too, right?
It can be wildly different. Yeah. There are times where we will walk in each other's footsteps, but not often. And I cannot, like, gas up our cast enough for the amount. Like, they are the ones that are doing the heavy lifting here. Sydney and I just have to remember our blocking. We have to remember our lines. We have to remember our cues. The cast has to remember our blocking as well as their own. And it can be dramatically different what one queen, how she treats this member of her council versus how the other queen treats that same member. And they are handling it amazing.
Okay.
Like, that is where the real heavy lifting is coming on this.
When you're doing costuming on this, do you each have two different costumes for this?
So,
or how does that work?
We have this. She is 2 inches taller than me, but we have the same measurements.
Okay.
Isn't that wild?
So you can get by with just
one dress.
One dress. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
One dress, two wigs.
Two wigs.
Okay.
Wigs would get a little weird.
No, that would look good on a button, too.
One dress, two wigs.
One dress, two wigs. Yes, our amazing customer, Patty.
Oh, Patty. Patty's the best.
I can't even, like, imagine if the fates hadn't, like, you guys didn't have the same measurements. That's so weird, because it's just like it's contributed to, like, our opening sequence, how the coin flip's going to go. Spoilers, they're going to get, like, dressed as the queens on stage. That's what's going to happen at the top of the show. And so, and all of that has come out of Patty being like, I could just make two dresses because it fits both of them. And then here, Patty gave me her ideas on how the opening sequence, because if I'm having them get dressed on stage, like, I have to consult my costumer. So she's been, pivotal in creating this world.
Yeah.
And what she's creating for the show is spectacular. At Blue Door, we don't really have space for a set necessarily. We have, you know, tables, chairs, acting blocks, but not, like, big backdrop or anything. And so the items of visual interest, besides the actors who are all wonderful, is these incredible costumes that Patty's creating.
Yeah, that's I'm looking forward to seeing that. When you do you have a favorite that you like to play? Maybe I should ask that.
But
I feel like I have to. I'm an interviewer. So, yeah.
It's actually really funny because, you know, that's, I feel like that's one of the most natural questions to ask when you're playing two roles at the same time. Mm-hmm. And so I've actually kept it a secret from my friends and family.
Okay.
So I guess it's not going to be a secret anymore.
Okay. All good. You, another exclusive.
Exactly. Yeah. You heard it here first, folks. Yeah. I prefer Mary. And not to say that I don't like Elizabeth. Yeah. Obviously, both of them are just a joy to get to explore and get to know as people. But I feel more connected to Mary. Mm-hmm. I also feel exactly what Jamie felt, is that just her humanity flows out of her. I think she's just this spark of a person.
Yeah.
And she can be a little rowdy. I think she's really fun.
Yeah, that's cool.
So, we'll go back to, like, I'm a time traveler from the 1900s, and I'm going to take us back to the year of our Lord, 1998. Okay. A little movie with Cate Blanchett came out called Elizabeth.
Oh, yeah.
It's not quite historically accurate, but I saw that I was probably 18 or 19 at the time, and it just, favorite movie. I loved this movie. Oh, my gosh. one of my children had the middle name of Elizabeth. So, I have always had a fondness for Tudor history. So, when I saw Mary Stuart, Elizabeth's in this? Oh, my goodness. This is quite, like, without hyperbole, it is the role of a lifetime for me. I love Elizabeth. Like, I am, like, as acting her, I am so protective of her. Yeah. I am just thrilled to be here. But, yeah, like I said, one of my kids had the middle name of Elizabeth after Elizabeth won. So, yes.
That's wonderful. Wow, that works out good. There's no fighting.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's good.
It is. Sorry, one more thing. Yeah. It is really funny because when presented with the option of, you know, who do you connect more with? It is quite funny that I chose the one who dies because I think in recent years, as in like the past 3 or 4 years, I think I've played like 5 characters that die on stage.
She's played quite a few more that have killed on stage.
I keep getting these characters that die on stage. So I do think it's really funny that...
That is funny.
I prefer the one that dies.
Yeah, well, you know, you just do what you know, you know?
Yeah.
I think it's funny, Elizabeth, for me, I have a sister, Elizabeth. And I have a sister, Suzanne. And my mom spelled both their names with an S instead of a Z. And I think it was a setup for my mom because people would start to spell, Elizabeth, E-L-I-Z. And my mom would say, Z, I hate Z's. So she went out of her way to name her daughters with Z's so she could talk about how much she didn't like the letter Z.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
My mother's name is Elizabeth with an S.
Was she? Wow, there's not a lot of them out there.
Yeah, that's, yeah. She also didn't like that she was Elizabeth, and everyone like had to come up with a nickname. She goes by Lisa, so that's why me and my brother just have like I'm just Abby, not Abigail, because she was like one name, no confusion. That's a fun fact about my mother, not related to this show.
Let's dish on our moms. I had when I was trying to come up with a new name for myself, you know, when I transitioned. I thought it would be kind of fun to go with Jezebel, but spell it with an S for my mom, you know, but I just couldn't pull the trigger on that one, you know.
You could have gone by like Jesse if people weren't anti-nickname.
There we go.
Anti-nickname, yes, that's true. Well, why don't we tell people again how they can come to see this play?
Yeah, so you can... purchase tickets on inlandclassicaltheater.com, or you can purchase tickets at the door as well. We go up January 29th at Blue Door Theater, and we'll run through February 8th.
Okay. And the Blue Door Theater is where it's at. And so is it, I suppose if they just searched, they're going to find it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's on the socials, as the kids say.
Yes, we're also on Facebook and Instagram.
Well, I want to ask you guys, and I don't know if I need to, I'm sure I know the answer to this already, but have you seen Hamnet?
I have. I haven't seen the movie, but I saw the stage production while I was in London a couple years ago.
Okay. I haven't seen the stage production. I've read the book and I saw the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
I'm bad. I haven't read it or seen it.
I've read it and I've seen it on stage, but I have not seen the new movie.
Yeah, okay.
I have not. I've heard that it's sad and I don't like sad movies.
Yeah, I thought it had one of the best endings I've ever seen in a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Very moving.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have to choose between Mary Stuart and Hamnet that night, date night, go see Mary Stuart. You know, wait till Hamnet comes out on... you know, on streaming. You know, I think this is kind of cool. Everybody talks about AI and how it's going to affect the industry. I really think plays are going to be where it's at, right?
Yeah.
I mean, real people doing real things. I think you guys are sitting on a gold mine right here. Yeah.
And I haven't even talked a little bit about like the whole, where this concept of switching like came from, and to me that like epitomizes the liveness of it and like what sets it apart.
Is that how it was always staged as a switch, or is that something you came up with?
No, it's something that I came up with.
Okay. Why did you do that?
Because I, first of all, I think it's a huge challenge for both actors who are playing the roles, the actors who are you know, around them, but then also I think it reminds the audience that what they're seeing is live. And I think, again, with film, sometimes we get accustomed to the fact that, like, oh, I could just, like, turn it on and watch a story and be entertained.
Yeah.
And we sometimes forget when we go to the theater, like, this is happening. Anything could happen. Like, uh-huh. That's the joy of it. And so it really highlights for me, like, you don't know what you're going to get until you go brilliant. And you see it.
That's brilliant. I think I'm always moved by theater. It doesn't matter what it is, because I think it's always a big part of it is that the risk taking that people do to perform,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's a risk, and it's just, I don't know, it's a lot of joy in that risking, I feel like. But yeah, so that's a really cool angle on this. And you guys have anything else? I think like we kind of, let's talk a little bit about Inland Classical Theater, because you are the artistic director.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Do you have your season all set up now? And when does your season run from?
So we're still like figuring out, you know, getting our feet under ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so it's hard for us to commit to like a full season right now. The way I'm envisioning the company is, at least for the short term, kind of these two pull points of like a winter show and a summer show.
Okay.
So I can say our summer show is in development and we should be able to announce it fairly soon. We just have to finish a couple more things. They're making faces at me. You will know soon.
It won't be in the park though, will it?
It will hopefully be outside.
Oh, yay.
But not necessarily in the same format like that S3 was doing.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'm intrigued.
And so we've got a director lined up. We're just waiting on, you know, those few more reforms to get signed. And then, and obviously we want to put the focus on Mary Stuart. But then as Mary Stuart comes to a close, we should hopefully be able to announce what our next show is.
Yeah, and I hope people come out and look at what you're doing, support it, because, you know, this is going to be the start of some beautiful stuff. Do you guys have anything else to add?
I just wanted to just emphasize, you know, like just Sydney and I are just, we are the queens, and like there's a lot of focus on the coin flip and the switching of the roles. Like, the cast is, that is the talent.
Yeah.
We are mundane list. Compared to the talent that is in that, on that stage, in that room. just shouting. We Christopher Lamb is our Lester. You cannot take your eyes off of him when he is on stage. He is just captivating. Rob, is it Greenup?
Rob, yeah.
He is our Talbot, and he is doing an amazing job. And it's like, for me, like I said, I am an amateur. I am untrained, and the delight in being able to sit in the audience and watch when Sydney's on stage, when she's doing her thing. And to watch, Jeffrey St. George go up there and be our Burley, and he is doing an amazing job. We have Jason Young, who is playing Paulette. He is the Mary's keeper, and the power that he brings to that role. And, like, I get starry-eyed just watching all these people. We are blessed to be working with Jared McDougal, of course. I'm sure you're familiar.
I'm familiar with all of them.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, like, I like just watching him. I just like when I don't know. It's so great as an actress, but it's oh so great to have this opportunity to sit back and watch this. Emma L. How do we pronounce her last name?
Ellisor.
Ellisor. She was actually in 5LQ with us. It is a delight to get to work with her again. She is effervescent on that stage, and of course we cannot leave Carrie Bostick out yet.
Yeah,
she is. Putting on so many hats in this production,
yeah,
and she's just has such positive energy.
Yeah, that's Carrie.
And for me, it is like that is like I balance within me the performer and just some lady, and I lose myself. I think, like I said, I've been having so much fun with this, and most of that fun comes from watching the pure, unadulterated talent that is our cast, that is Sydney, that is my director, and I feel so fortunate to be here. Like I said, I don't know how I fooled her for 5LQ. I do not know how I pulled the wool over your eyes after we performed together. Like, yeah, sure.
Wow. But it's Jamie is selling herself short.
Wow, this
it's
is
the cast. It is the cast.
I think it's a great, we got to go now, but I think like, people are going to recognize, if they go to any Shakespeare, they're going to recognize some familiar faces and some excellent performances. I've been talking to the cast, two of the cast members, and the director of Mary Stuart. And you can go online and look at that and figure out all that stuff. We've told you a bunch of times, but, you're probably driving if you haven't crashed your car. And I will see you next week, or I'll be here next week. You are listening to KYRS Medical Lake, Spokane.
And he's hardly alone in singing the Talking Banker Blues, for that elite clique has long pouted that they're paupers compared to the billionaires of high tech. So mounting an odd boardroom labor action, bankers have been getting drastic pay hikes. The CEO of Citigroup, for example, recently set a new bottom line expectation for top floor bankers: a paycheck of more than $100 million. How can a business lavish such a windfall on one guy? Easy. The CEO slashed tens of thousands of bank employees from Citi's payroll last year. So, he got their pay. This is Jim Hightower saying, Woody Guthrie once wrote a parody of such predatory behavior, singing, "I am a jolly banker, a jolly banker am I." Today's Wall Street aristocrats are jolly too, bloating their extravagant wealth by taking wages and livelihoods from thousands of their own employees. As Woody might sing, that's how inequality, quote, happens. The Hightower Radio Lowdown is made possible by you subscribers to Jim Hightower's Lowdown on Substack. Find us at jimhightower.substack.com.
سلام، من شارخ هستم و شما به KYRS Medical Lake Spokane 88.1 و 92.3 FM گوش میکنید.
KYRS Medical Lake and K222BG Dartford 88.1 FM, 92.3 FM Thin Air Community Radio.
The following program was pre-recorded.
Is Democracy Now!
They broke our two front windows and dragged us out, arrested us.
and brought us to detention. One of the agents, the one who had sprayed the pepper spray into my car, proceeded to say, "You guys gotta stop obstructing us. That's why that lesbian bitch is dead," referring to Renee Good.
As nationwide protests continue to call for ICE out for good, referring to the ICE killing of Renee Good, Trump puts 1,500 military troops on standby to deploy to Minneapolis to add to thousands of ICE agents already there, dwarfing the local police department. We'll get a report from the streets of Minneapolis and speak with constitutional scholar Michelle Goodwin. Meanwhile, thousands protest in Greenland and Denmark, where